but light and the most sacred of traditions, the tailgate. In my days as a collegiate liege, I hosted the very first tailgate in yon woods. We didn't have coolers or sports. We were basically just in the woods. But we had Bud Light, so a tailgate it was. Anyway, I invite you to continue my legacy and enjoy Bud Light courtesy of me at your tailgate. Also courtesy of me. Dilly dilly.
Enjoy responsibly, Bud Light Beer, AB St. Louis, Missouri.
The holiday season is here. Do you want to carve your turkey or ham oh so right and so fresh? Or do you want your relatives to complain about your knives again?
Why are your knives so dull?
Of course, no one wants to hear that. So bring your knives back to life at Bertarelli Cutlery. They can put a sharp edge back on your knives and get you ready for the holiday season. That's Bertarelli Cutlery, located at 1927 Marconi on the Hill. Call them at 314-664-4005. Follow them on Facebook or on Twitter at STL Knives.
Hi, my name is Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. The average American household has over $15,000 in credit card debt. You're not alone. Our job is to find a way to get that paid off for you once and for all. Stop being afraid to go to the mailbox and stop letting those credit card statements pile up on the kitchen counter. Pay it all off today in 5 minutes with our cash out refinance at thehomeloanexpert.com, and you'll even skip 2 full months of mortgage payments. Now that's how you start the year off right. The Home Loan Expert LLC, NMLS number 1326241.
Club Fitness has something for everybody this fall. Join now and get November for just $1. That's right. 4 quarters get you started on your fitness journey today. Sweater season's now sweating season with free group classes, free kids club, 24-hour access, and 23 locations. Join the club today and get November for $1. To learn more or sign up to get your free trial, visit clubfitness.us. Club Fitness, the right fit for everybody. Some restrictions apply. See club for details.
When you go out to dinner, it should be magical. There are lots of good restaurants in St. Louis, but tonight, we want great. Picture a place where there's the smell of Grecian shrimp, pork chops, hand-cut fillets, and veal coming from an ancient-looking Greek oven in a beautiful dining room with the service fit for a king and a queen. You just discovered Spiro's in St. Charles, where the dining experience is unique and unparalleled, where Spiro's believes the best food is meant to be shared, so the portions are designed for a communal dining experience. Sample remastered Mediterranean dishes prepared by master chefs, then share this experience with friends, family, and loved ones. You have found Spiro's in St. Charles, and dining out will never be the same until you come back. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital. During the holidays, think of Spiro's for catering and your corporate and private party needs. Daytime bookings are available.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer and can save you a lot of unnecessary fear. One client called frantic. A test sample for an indoor swimming pool showed evidence of Legionella bacteria. Well, that meant the entire pool would have to be drained, then washed with acid. But Wellington Environmental found the pool was safe. The test sample was a false positive. In another case, a homeowner said a buyer had just backed out of a closing. The building inspector claimed he had found evidence of mold in a closet. That could be scary. Could certainly cost the deal. Wellington Environmental found it was not mold. It was traces of asphalt from the wheels of a suitcase. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
Grizzlies fans, take advantage of our Cyber Monday and Tuesday 48-hour sale. Through midnight tonight, select tickets for all December home games are up to 60% off. Visit Grizzlies.com before this Cyber Monday 48-hour sale runs out.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America's asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA.
Don't get excited. Don't get excited saying, oh, here comes John Landoff.
No.
What?
Oh, did you say Dan go? Don't get excited?
I'm telling the audience not to get excited. You hear that theme, they may think he's coming. By the way, did you see my message on the screen?
I just saw it.
What happened?
It's not on the list. It is on the list.
You missed it.
Huh?
It is. Oh, it is? It's on the list you sent me?
Yeah. Should be. The first. It was the, should be the first one.
I'll go back and recheck it. Let me have a moment here to sell a couple of Chevys. I think everybody, if you pay any attention to the news at all, and by the way, that little chit-chat Dan and I had, that was secret code talk behind the scenes. Try to figure it out if you want. If you've been paying attention, you know that this country has evolved into a country of SUVs and pickup trucks, and very gradually the interest in cars, full-size cars, is diminishing, and I don't know what to make of that, really. I like cars. I like either a small car or a full-size car. I also like SUVs and pickup trucks, but the fact that the country really likes them to the point that they are discontinuing the manufacture of some cars, I guess I didn't see that coming. So whatever it is that people are looking for, it's going to be on the lot at Johnny Lundoff. You want trucks and SUVs? Okay. They have plenty. They'll have whatever it is you want as tastes change. And, you know, what's funny is about 20 years ago, 20, 25 years ago, the hot product was conversion vans. Big old bulky, boxy conversion vans. They were just vans, you know, like delivery vans or nursing home vans, but they would take the interiors out, put captain's chairs in them, stick a VCR in there. For you youngsters, that's a form of video entertainment, VCR, and a monitor, and man, oh man, you were in heaven. It made trips so much more comfortable. They were sloppy on the road. They were kind of top heavy. Not a great handling vehicle at all. And then it's like one day you wake up and where are all the conversion vans? They're gone. They're gone. Trends. I don't know if we'll get back to people liking full-size cars again. At least enough people to justify the manufacture of them. But my point is this, whatever is hot, whatever it is people are looking for, they're going to have plenty of them at Johnny Lundoff Chevrolet. So if you're in the market, maybe you've never had a pickup truck before. I've said many times, I'd actually like to have a pickup truck. But I think the bed would probably be pristine when I turned it in 10 years later because I don't have anything to haul in a pickup truck. Every once in a while, I'm going to Lowe's, I got to pick up, okay, and it won't fit in a regular car. Other than that, though, I don't need a truck. But I love what they've done with pickup trucks. When I was a kid, our neighbor, his name was Bill, and he worked for a meat packing plant. He bought a new pickup truck, and he brought it over to our house. I can still see that truck. It was red and white, and it was as stark as anything could be. It had a speedometer and an old analog radio, and that was it. A metal bedliner. Nobody ever heard of them. They didn't have bedliners back then. You just scratched up the bed of your truck. But he took me for a ride. And I just remember thinking, man, how much better can a truck get than this? Well, they've gotten a lot better. In fact, pickup trucks now, if you've not been in a new Chevy Silverado pickup truck, it's like sitting in a Cadillac. It is the most comfortable. It doesn't ride like a truck at all, and neither do the SUVs. What always gets me is when I see somebody, and you're traveling across the country, and you see somebody in a part of the country, not just somebody, but lots of somebodies, and they're driving 4x4s. They've never seen snow. They've never seen an inch of snow. But they got a 4x4, which probably never gets engaged to full 4x4. They never need it, but buddy, they want a 4x4. So whatever you're looking for, and if you're not a customer for a brand new Chevy, that's okay. Something 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, they'll find it for you if they don't have it. They may very well have it, but if they don't, they'll find it. Why don't you go and be treated like you have never been treated at any car dealership in your life? Here's where you'll find that place. Johnny Lundoff Chevrolet, the Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270, or 24/7 at Lundoff.com.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Let's go.
Let's
Come
all
on.
Go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Every time we go to the movie theater, my wife takes something in her purse, like a bottle of water or a bag of M&Ms. Is that stealing? That's not really stealing, is it?
No. It's just stealing stuff, man.
It's sneaking. There's a difference. There's a difference. Dan Buffa is with us, and we're going to talk TV shows and movies. And one of the things we changed in the last couple of weeks is we'll take your suggestions for something that you really enjoyed or you hated. Save your money, folks. Don't go. It could be that. It could be in between. If you have a suggestion, television, movie-related, feel free to call and talk to Dan and tell all of us what it is. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Dan Buffa is with us courtesy of Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States and the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. WindowWorldSt.Louis.com for more. Give it up for Dan Buffa.
How's everybody doing?
Great.
You saw Dan, we're doing fantastic. Before you start, I will tell you that I accidentally went to see Creed 2. And what I mean by accidentally is I bought my tickets on my phone, and I thought I tapped the wrong movie. I thought I was hitting a Bohemian Rhapsody because I want to see it a second time, which in my life I can't remember any movie that I've wanted to see twice in the same theater run. So, but I hit the wrong thing, and I get there, and the guy spits the ticket out, and he says, Theater 7 or whatever. And we go in and look up at the door, and it says Creed 2. I had bought the wrong tickets. And it was a heavy, busy holiday weekend, and pretty much everything was sold out, so I couldn't just go take a seat in another. So we saw it. And out of four ARDs being the best you can get, I'm going to go 2.5 real quickly. All right. You've seen it, right?
Yes, sir. I saw it over the weekend.
What would you give it?
I give it a 3. I really enjoyed it. I knew what I expected going in. I wasn't going to expect the big artistic flavor that Ryan Coogler brought to Creed. I thought this was more of a Rocky 3 or 4 kind of enjoyment level. I like the Drago storyline. But I don't know. I went in expecting kind of more of a crowd-pleasing film more than like an awards flavor film like the last movie. I think that was more of a, you know, Stallone got nominated for an Oscar. It was kind of a surprise hit. But I enjoyed it.
Well, here's my take on it. What I guess I didn't like is when I go to a movie, I want something in that movie to surprise me. Didn't see that coming. There's no surprise here. You know, look, you know going in, I'm not giving anything away. Let's go back to Rocky. You knew that in the end, Rocky was going to prevail. Oh, my goodness. He finally be. And the same thing here. You know that Adonis Creed, the son of Apollo Creed, you know that ultimately he's going to win and be the champion and prevail. And so I just thought, there were no surprises here. I kind of like surprises. So for me, it's 2.5 out of 4.
He won?
Yeah. And I mean, for me, I don't really need a big twist. I mean, I'm going for more of the nostalgia of watching a Rocky movie. Mm-hmm. But I also like the way that they brought in, the way that Drago wasn't just kind of a guy, okay, they bring back Ivan Drago. He played a big part. And it's all about, for me, it's fathers and sons. How Adonis feels like he has to move out of his father's shadow, who was killed by Ivan, who has now been basically banished in Russia after losing to Rocky, and how Rocky can't even talk to his own son. So I kind of took that angle on it. The whole who wins the fight's not really a big deal to me. We all know who's going to win. But I thought more of the behind-the-scenes stuff, the father-son drama between the three different groups. And also, just again, I go for it's a Rocky movie. And I love the scenes with Stallone. I think, just like in Creed, he's so good in this role. He's gotten so comfortable. There's a scene between him and Drago at a restaurant that plays out so well, where he goes to the restaurant and he tells Rocky, looking at a picture of Apollo Creed, like, that's a good picture. And this is the guy that killed Apollo Creed. So there's now, a little...
I have to tell you, I don't... You said he was really good. To me, Sylvester Stallone is a one-dimensional actor. I don't care if he's being Rambo or... I don't care. He's
I just, completely disagree.
Nice, you do?
He has come into this role so well. And again, I don't think he's a, you know, a guy that you can put up there with the best, but... He was nominated for Creed. By being the supporting character, he has found a way to make Rocky give him more powerful, kind of a gravitas to his role. He's not the star anymore.
But, But am I wrong, or is every movie Sylvester Stallone does, everyone is kind of, it's either he's in the military, he's in the boxing ring, he's part of some clandestine, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't, what romantic comedy has he ever
been? I think
what,
there's
what,
a
what
line.
What have you seen where he stretched his talent?
Well, in Copland.
Tango and Cash?
In Copland.
Stop or my mom will shoot.
In James Mangold's Copland, he gained weight, he played kind of a cop with a hearing deficit with Ray Liotta and Robert De Niro. He was really good in that. He made me laugh at Oscar. And really, I'm not saying he's like the acting powerhouse, but I think he separates himself from guys like Schwarzenegger and Seagal and Van Damme, that he can basically really get into a role. I mean, I believe that he is this guy. I mean, Rambo, that's more of just an action-savvy kind of fun role, but Rocky's got a lot of layers to it, and I think when he came back with Creed, being the supporting character, I think that was a great move to bring in Adonis, Michael B. Jordan, and make him the supporting guy. I think he's found more of a comfort level in the role.
He's 72 years old, and they're filming Rambo 5.
Yes, yeah, I don't know why they're doing that. I think the last one, and then, spoiler alert, the last Rambo, he goes back to his ranch, and he's done fighting. And now they're going to go back. I guess he's like, oh, I guess I'll go out and fight some more. I don't know why they're doing it.
What's wrong with your voice? What happened to your voice?
I don't know why they're doing
it. What happened there?
Now, listen, I want to move on to other stuff, but I want to share something with you. I'm going to play this for you. I spoke with Sly Stallone.
You did.
After I saw Creed 2.
You speak with him every week. This is impressive.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a cell phone number, and he has mine. And I did something I've never done when I talked to him, because we're friends. So I just laid it out there, and I said, Sly, I'm sorry, I just don't think you're much of an actor. I think you have one act, and it's being Sylvester Stallone. And he took it pretty well. Here's what he had to say.
Who is this? What the hell is, who in the hell's calling me?
Frank, you know why you're so on the money, though? Because when you look at Sylvester Stallone's IMDb, the first three movies he made where he actually got a credit in the movie of being a character's name. Here are the characters' names in 1970, 1970, 1971 of the first three movies he was in. Here are the credits that he played: Stud, Party Guest, and Subway Thug.
There you go.
We gotta start somewhere. Yeah. You gotta start somewhere.
Party Guest.
You gotta jump to Cobra, Marion Cobretti.
Hey, one of his nice best characters.
Oh, yeah, great movie.
Oh, great movie. All right,
I got one other thing. This is TV related, then I'll hand it over to you. There was an NBC show that I think a lot of this country was captivated by. You couldn't stop watching it, and then all of a sudden the host is fired from NBC because they found out he had a girlfriend.
You know what I'm talking about? This sounds familiar.
Chris Hansen. Chris Hansen had to catch a predator. I'm going to tell you something. When that show was on, I never missed it, because what you talk about reality, this was reality. This was him walking into the room where a guy has agreed to meet a 12 or 13 year old boy or girl for sex and busted on camera. It gave you kind of a profile, if you will, of what these sick pedophiles look like. And the point is this, they look like all kinds of people. They could be a school teacher. And here's my point. I don't understand the hypocrisy of the television business or the movie business. They let him go simply because he had an affair, and they got a picture of him kissing a girl. Is that right? Okay, probably not good for a marriage, but what does that have to do with the success of the show, or is that reason to cut a guy's legs out from under? I don't think so.
There's always going to be, there's something you don't know. Like with James Gunn and Guardians of the Galaxy, I know there was something else. There was something else, the reason that Disney and Marvel had to just all of a sudden fire a guy who had made two box office smash hits in Guardians of the Galaxy. You can't fire a guy over tweets. I'm sorry. You just can't do it. So with Chris Hansen, I think there has to be something similar. There has to be something that we're never going to find out behind the scenes.
Well, Roseanne got fired over a tweet.
Yeah, over
she
a tweet.
She absolutely did.
And John Goodman and the whole cast were like, what's going on here? This is stupid.
I don't think that was fair either. Now,
no, it
I
wasn't.
Want people to know, if you're a fan of watching scumbag child molesters get caught, Chris Hansen is still doing it online. If you go to YouTube, just type in Chris Hansen. And last night, I watched four or five episodes of this. It's called something else. It's called Something Versus Predator. But it's Chris Hansen again, doing what he did so well. And it's just fun to me to watch despicable pedophiles
get caught,
get cuffed, and taken away. So it is on YouTube. All right, it's all yours. What do you got for us?
Well, Creed 2 was going to be my first one. So again, you're right on. I think last week you did it. Did you review, like, brought up Instant Family last week? So that's 2 weeks in a row where you basically matched the opening movie. So there, your mix up in the movie theater puts you right in line with my review. So Creed 2, we've knocked that out. But also, being that it's the holidays and movies are coming out in droves, Hugh Jackman's in a new movie, and I really like this one. It's called The Front Runner. And for me, I had no idea about Gary Hart back in the 88.
Did you see Gary Hart recently? He was on CBS Sunday Morning.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. He looked like 95 years old.
I know. He does.
Yeah.
He's only, what is he?
He's 80. I think he's 80.
But he looks 90.
Because he was in his 40s when this happened, so he has to be just about 70-ish, in his 70s. And the story,
you mean
again.
Now?
Yeah.
I think they said he just turned
80. He's 82. Yeah.
Because I know he was in his mid-40s when he was going to be president. Again, with 3 weeks left before, like in the last, stages of the election, or right before they're getting ready to vote, this movie takes place in 1988, where he is 16 points ahead of the last, of the other, the person behind him in a race for to the president, basically him.
And I have to correct you. He was 50 or 52. He was in his 50s because this was only 30 years.
Well, ago. In the movie, it supposedly said he was in his mid 40s. Maybe Jason Reitman changed that up, but when he had
the affair.
Yeah, this takes place right when that storm cloud hit him. When he was going to be destined to be president in the late 80s, he was a shoo-in to win it, and then. Then the Miami Herald was the one that really broke it. They went to his little residence, his house in New York or in Washington, and they followed him and they took pictures. And then Johnny Carson did the monkey business bit about the boat, and everything came down. Jason Reitman directs this movie about those 3 weeks where he went from being 16 points ahead, a shoo-in for the president, and to being out of the race. And
okay, here's the disturbing part. Here's the hypocrisy of show business.
Well, this is where it started too. This is where it started. Because before,
but did you see the follow up though? Did you see the statement of the guy who has admitted that he set Gary Hart up?
I did not see this.
Of his of the opposing political party. Gary Hart, I believe, was a Democrat, I believe.
Yes, the Democrat.
I watched this past weekend. A quick segment of the I guess you'd say the rest of the story, and this guy has finally admitted that he was paid to set Gary Hart up. In other words, he arranged for Gary Hart to be invited aboard the monkey business, in Bimini. They made sure Donna Rice was there. Their intent was to get a picture of them together, and it was all planned. And when I hear that, I think, how despicable. You kicked a guy completely out of the race who may have been a good president, I don't know, and it was all arranged. And if people don't believe that a lot of this stuff is set up and arranged, then you are really naive, because it happens. It's a dirty, dirty business. Politics is a dirty business.
Did you see Ozark, Frank?
Yes.
Do you remember that? Remember the scene in Ozark 2 where she did that? To be more specific. The state senator that they were trying to get the vote on for the casino had a little perversion, and they slid a prostitute into the room, and the other gal had a key and came in and videotaped while he was.
That was it. Yeah.
To get his vote.
That was the kicker.
Well, I remember when Kathy Lee Gifford, Frank Gifford, was set up, and they got the stewardess to get him to agree to go in a hotel. Now, granted, he agreed to get a hotel room with her, but that was all planned. Somebody set all that up. They knew that Frank had a little weakness for women, so they got this stewardess, and she kind of seduced him and Next thing you know, somebody just happened to be there with a camera. Boom!
And of course, the movie's based off of Matt Bai's book, All the Truth Is Out. It's been in production since 2015. Hugh Jackman's great because this movie, essentially, you know, it wasn't even the boat stuff that got him in trouble. It was really just when they went, when they decided to go to his place and they kind of like, you know, did surveillance outside of his house waiting to get pictures of him. And the thing with Gary Hart was he was just stubborn when it came to admitting that its private life wasn't a part of it, but that wasn't the point. It wasn't the 60s anymore, the 70s. His private life wasn't private anymore, and they were going to go wide with it, and he just kept denying and denying. Jason Reitman really takes a straight line to this material. He doesn't really sit on one side or the other. He just kind of paints Gary Hart as this tragic figure who was right in the middle of a changing of the times. Because in the movie, Gary Hart even kind of references, because he was a campaign guy for Lyndon Johnson and Kennedy. He's like, you know, there was one time where Johnson would literally walk past the security guards and say, look, you're going to see some women coming in and out of here. You know, that's just the way it is. And the same for Kennedy. And he tried to use that as a defense. And his campaign manager said, Gary, that was back in the 60s. This was the 80s. You can't get away with that anymore. And that was,
Gary, that's not going to work until the 90s when Bill Clinton gets caught and gets away with it. It'll work again then, but not now.
So really, in this movie, this is really the changing of the guard was in 88 where, you know, he was the guy. He was, for being a Democratic candidate to be in the White House to beat George Bush, he was the guy, but this thing brought him down because he told one reporter of the Washington Post, well, if you really want to know who I am, you can follow me around. And he told a reporter that.
And that was a mistake.
And then what did the Miami Herald do the next week? They followed him around, and they got pictures. And it was just kind of like one of those dominoes things. They start falling, and all of them start to fall. But the movie was well done. Jason Reitman, who's done Juno, Thank You for Smoking. This movie is very good. Hugh Jackman, Vera Farmiga plays his wife, Lee, who was just, you know, she had to face the press when all this happened and really kind of led to his decision to leave the race. But if you want to know a little bit of an interesting slice of politics and how they can really change and how politics and almost Hollywood came together, this is a good movie. I mean, I enjoyed it because I knew next to nothing about Gary Hart, but I left kind of wanting to know more.
Here's what I'm hoping. Sometimes I see that there's a movie coming out, and I think I already know the story. I'll give you an example. Sully, okay?
Yeah.
The airline.
Sure, Tom Hanks.
I did not go see it in the theater because I thought, what's to see? I know what he did. I know how many people were saved. But I went and saw it and thought, whoa, there's a whole lot of stuff we didn't know. After the fact of what he went through, and I'm hoping that's going to be the case with Gary Hart. I know he was the guy who was tapped to be the next, and everything was in his corner, and then this happened, and it derailed the whole thing. I hope there's a lot more than that to it, and I think there is. And Hugh Jackman, by the way,
is just
this
fabulous.
Is a guy who makes all of the rest of us men in this country look pathetic. He's good looking. He's tall. He's in great shape. He can dance.
He's Australian.
He can act. He's pleasant. People seem to love working with him. He seems like a nice guy. Holy mackerel, we don't have a chance.
And I asked the director, Jason Reitman, if he was his first choice, and he said yes. He was always the first guy to play him. Reitman came into town for the St. Louis Film Festival. He gave us a little interview, talked about the movie, and I asked him, was he the guy? And he's like, yeah, I mean, I knew. I mean, he referenced how good he was in Logan. He said, this guy is playing a Marvel character, and he made you feel for him in Logan. I mean, playing a guy who is just, you know, who couldn't die, was almost invincible. And he's like, right then and there, I knew this was the guy that I needed. And he said that he's easy to work with, he's professional, but he also knows how to play a guy where, you know, Gary Hart didn't really reveal his emotional cards to the press. So in playing that, Jackman kind of had a difficult task. He didn't really give a lot of answers because he kept denying. And he said that the way Jackman played him, and I agree, was just so great. Because he didn't try to overdo it. And a lot of actors...
I think it's great that Gary Hart actually met with Hugh Jackman.
He did, yeah.
And I think that says something, too, because I would have thought that when they went to Gary Hart, he'd go, Hell no.
No.
I'm not going to be a
Don't
part of dredging this up again. What are you talking about? I'm not going to have anything to do with this.
But
I don't want you to do it.
And Reitman did say that when he first took the movie to the heart, he's like, that was just, it was hard because you're making a story about, you know, imagine if he went to you and said, Frank, I'm going to make a story, but I'm going to choose the worst week of your life to make a story. That's what he did in taking that movie to Gary Hart and Lee. But he said they liked it. They received it well. And they gave their endorsement. They really liked Jackman and his commitment. But if you like politics, you like the way that it can really shape a person and really, you know, change their life, the Front Runner is really good. I mean, if you're not into the boxing thing, the holidays give moviegoers so many options. Yeah,
right, Front Runner. Let's do ARDs for Front Runner.
I'm gonna go 3.5. I really enjoyed it. I want to go 3, but I don't think that really does it justice. I think Jackman's performance pushes it to 3.5.
All right, here we go. 3.5 ARDs.
All right, Dean. All right.
What else you got?
Last movie that came out over the weekend that I watched is The Return of Viggo Mortensen. It is called Green Book. And it is another true story about the friendship between a white Italian-American and African-American in the 1960s. And Viggo Mortensen plays Tony Lip, who is basically kind of a bouncer, a tough guy, who gets a job to drive around a classical pianist who happens to be African-American around the 1960s American South.
Isn't it interesting? You have to be very careful how you say pianist.
Yeah, I know,
some
yeah.
People, you know, they don't
He's basically the best piano player on the planet, but he needs protection because he's going down to the Deep South to play on a tour. And this is in early 1962, and the title of the movie refers to a book, and this is a real book that was given. If you were driving an African-American across that kind of those states, you needed to know where they can go to restaurants, where they can stay in hotels, and it was actually a green book that was given to Viggo Mortensen's character. This is a true story about how these two guys, two different people, I mean, Tony Lip was this tough guy, working class. He grew up on the hard streets of New York. And, you know, Don Shirley was a guy who was rich, and he was, you know, he played the piano better than anybody that ever lived, really. But he was just the color of his skin made it hard for him to go in certain areas, and that's where Viggo Mortensen's character comes in. It's one of those movies that's kind of got, it's a drama, but it's got a lot of comedy to it. Because Peter Farrelly, who did There's Something About Mary, directs this movie. And the guy has mostly done comedies. And when I first heard about this movie, I was like, okay, this is a true story. You know, racism and two guys going across the country. This does not sound like a guy who just did There's Something About Mary. There does a lot of slapstick comedies. But it's the humor in this movie, and especially between Viggo Mortensen and his co-star, Mahershala Ali, who won a supporting Oscar for Moonlight, who's a very good actor. It's the...
How do you pronounce the first name?
Mahershala.
Mahershala. I interviewed Mahershala Ali this morning, as a matter of fact.
You did?
Yeah, I can play a little bit of it. I said, how do you feel about your performance in this movie? Here's what Mahershala Ali said. I'm the greatest of all time. I'm just like Muhammad Ali. Whoop Joe Frazier, whoop something, I can whoop any other actor.
Hey, Dad.
She's a lot like Muhammad Ali.
She has a pretty deep voice,
She
huh?
sounds like she be standing up.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Oh, is that a woman? Is Mahershala Ali a woman? I didn't even know.
Yes. Yes, she is.
Is she related? Is it his daughter? Is it Ali's daughter?
No, it is not.
I don't know that we know the answer.
There's no relation, but he's been around for a while. This is his... I mean, really, this last couple of years, he's going to be in True Detective Season 3 next year.
So Mahershala Ali is a guy?
Yeah, Mahershala Ali is a guy. Oh.
Well, somebody just said she sounds like a man. It is a man.
No. It's a man.
What movie is this?
This is the Green Book.
Okay. Another one, by the way, that we tried to see this weekend and couldn't get into.
Green Book was sold out. I'm very surprised. It did win the best audience. It did win the audience award at St. Louis Film Critics Festival, the International Film Festival.
Dan, you're thinking of Behind the Green Door.
Oh.
Rimshot, Limey. Rimshot.
Limey doesn't even know what that means. Do you know what that reference means, Limey?
No idea.
Me neither.
Behind the Green Door was Linda Lovelace. Marilyn Chambers in Behind the Green Door, and it was the second mainstream, well-known porn movie. The first was Deep Throat, and then here comes Behind the Green Door.
Yep.
And it was really, really dirty.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, that's all right. Marilyn Chambers. That's what I hear. I never saw it, of course.
But the movie, I mean, it's your true story, but it's very funny. And I think if people can just go watch it. I mean, again, Viggo Mortensen does not act a lot. I love this guy, but the last thing he was in was Captain Fantastic 2 years ago. He kind of picks his projects very, he doesn't really have to work it, basically. He's like the opposite of, let's say, a Christopher Walken or a Tom Hanks, where they have to do two or three movies a year.
Hey, do Viggo, your Christopher Walken. I love your Christopher Walken.
Viggo was so good in this movie. I saw him in Lord of the Rings. He swung that sword so well. Wow.
Great.
You know what? I know very few people can do a good Walken. Your Christopher
Jay
Walken
Moore really does
good.
It really well. The guy who played Bob Sugar in Jerry Maguire does a really good Christopher Walken.
Frank, I deserve a whipping out back because I made funny on the PN stand-up. There are two different actors on IMDb. There's a Mahershala Ali, which is male, who he was referring to. There's also a Marsha Salah Ali that's female, and I screwed him up. My bad.
Pretty close to the same name.
Yeah, pretty close.
I could see where that screw up could
be. Yeah, I mean, they're very similar, but this guy, I mean, you're going to be seeing more of him. I mean, he's going
to
be
This movie sounds to me like it's the story of being black in America in the 60s, having beyond way above normal or average IQ or intelligence, yet you're still treated the same way that a slave would be treated in many ways. And I think it is it's sort of a combination from what I can tell of Driving Miss Daisy and several other movies where we've seen this whites only restroom type situation. Yeah, and you can play here, but you can't stay here.
Yeah, and there's a couple scenes where they go in and this guy is the main attraction. Imagine like Mick Jagger walked in and he's going to play this room tonight. But he can't eat there. I mean, there's two scenes where he goes into a restaurant just wanting to get a meal before he plays. And, of course, Viggo Mortensen's character being this big tough guy who kind of, you know, throws his fist before he moves his brain, he kind of gets him in trouble. But it's just, even those scenes are not heavy-handed because of the comedy that Peter Farrelly brings to the movie. He makes you laugh even though you're quietly kind of cringing at what was going on in the 60s.
Okay, ARDs for Green Book.
Three. I think it's a good, it's not really an Oscar powerful comedy or movie, but the laughs and the chemistry between Ali and Mortensen really make this movie special, so I'll give it a 3.
All right, here we go, 3 ARDs.
All right, Dan.
Hey, what was the movie? I was trying to think of this the other day, and it was a terrific movie. It was Robert Duvall and James Earl Jones, and they find out they're half-brothers or something. A white racist and a black... You know what I'm talking about? It was a great movie.
Did it come out a while ago? Or did?
Oh, yeah, like 20 years ago. And I can never remember that. I could Google it, I guess. James Earl Jones.
God, Robert Duvall has been in so many movies, but he's kind of taking a little bit of time off, but this sounds... Like it wasn't, I want to say it's ancient?
Well, James Earl Jones is a cop. He's a black cop. And Duvall, I just remember seeing where he's driving a truck, and he's a real kind of redneck racist guy. And when he finds out that he has a brother who's black, and they meet, it's really good.
Is it called A Family Thing?
Yes. Thank you, head of research, Tim Woodburn. Thing. That's it.
1996. Mm-hmm. Earl Pitcher Jr.
Here's a movie. Since Green Book is out, here's another one I would recommend people watch, and I think you're going to back me up on this. If you want a real clear picture of what the South was like in the 50s and 60s, especially, The Help.
Yeah. Emma Stone.
That movie.
And Jessica Chastain.
Oh, my goodness, that movie.
Octavia Spencer, too, right?
Jessica Chastain.
Octavia Spencer has become one of my favorite actresses.
She's in so many things, but she should be in more. Every time she pops up, I go, this is going to be a good movie. Every time she's in a role.
She's got such a great face. She can act just with expressions on her face.
Imagine with her and Morgan Freeman in the same movie together. That'd be good.
That would be great.
Frank, I got a good story for you and Buffa. A quick one. I live by myself, and sometimes I hear things, and I don't think I hear things right. It's just me and the two dogs. Lazy Monday night. I always give Limey crap about comic books and stuff. I'm not a big Superman, Batman guy and the whole bit. Last night, Men of Steel was on with Henry Cavill, right?
Oh, Henry Cavill, yeah.
I'm bored. I have nothing else to do, and I'm just sitting there. And
have you ever watched it before?
I have not.
I've never seen it.
Came out 2013. So I'm watching. Perry White, Lois Lane's boss, is played by Lawrence Fishburne, who's African American, right? So Lois Lane sees this alien event, and she goes back to Lawrence Fishburne and asks him, you know, can she report this? And he refuses to let her report the story because he said society will freak out if our newspaper, the Daily Planet, reports that this is going on. So she leaks the story to this sleazeball guy who runs like a website, and she's like he's kind of like her guy on the side. You know what this guy's name is in the movie?
What's that?
Woodburn.
Woodburn!
I'm sitting there, I'm kind of watching him, and Lawrence Fishburne goes, she goes, well, if you don't run this, I'll quit. He goes, well, you can't, you're under contract. And she walks away, and he goes, you better not give it to Woodburn. And I'm used to hearing Woodburn in that condescending negative voice.
Yeah, Limey, we have to download. You got to extract that. Yeah. That line. You better not give it to Woodburn. We can use that.
Morpheus basically just said, but Woodburn.
I didn't think that he said it. I thought, oh, I can't be right.
You look it up.
Then he said it again.
And
then I looked it up on IMDb, and his name is Glenn Woodburn. And he's the sleazeball reporter.
Yeah, kind of like tabloid.
And Superman Batman comes on right after that, where they fought each other. And he's in that one, too.
Woodburn.
So my 15 minutes of fame are a sleazeball reporter.
Ooh,
how distant is that
from imagine if walking up by the road, Woodburn, can't trust that guy. Him and his four cell phones.
All right, now, before we run out of time, I want to ask you about something. This Showtime thing called Escape to, what is it?
Escape at Dannemora with Patricia Arquette, Benicio Del Toro, and a very lucky...
That sounds good.
The very lucky Paul Dano, man. In the first episode, first 20 minutes, you're going to be like, Paul Dano, I wish I was your stunt double. That's all I'm going to say.
Frank, this is addictive. It's a 7-episode series.
True story.
It's based on a prison breakout.
I've got it set up to record. I haven't seen one yet, but I just want to make sure I'm not wasting my time.
It happened 2.5 years ago. I mean, and really, the writers of the series were surprised that Ben Stiller wanted to do it, but when he heard about the story, he said he had to do it.
Oh, it's a slow build-up.
I actually remember the story in the news. It was just a couple of years ago.
The summer of 2015.
Yeah, and it's a story about a real escape, and what's happened is, like USA Today, that's the paper I read every morning, it caused them to do a full page of the 10 best escape from prison movies. What do you think they said the number one movie is for prison escapes?
Shawshank Redemption.
No, Shawshank was number 2 or 3.
Ooh. Escape from Alcatraz?
It was on the list. It was on the list.
The Great Escape?
That's it. Yeah. Steve McQueen. Listed as the best prison escape movie ever. Shawshank was in there.
I would
beat it.
I would throw The Count of Monte Cristo in there.
Yeah, great movie. That's a good one.
I don't know if that
made
the top 10, but that's one of my favorites.
Oh, wait, hang a second.
I think it was on the top 10.
The redo one that came out
James
in
2000.
Papillon.
Yeah.
Papillon?
Yeah, Charlie Hunnam. Yeah, Charlie Hunnam and Rami Malek, the guy who played
this article mentioned
Freddie Mercury.
But this article said, don't bother with the recent Papillon. Go watch the one with Dustin Hoffman.
You know, I will say the recent Papillon was good. I think Charlie Hunnam is kind of forever going to be the Sons of Anarchy guy, but Rami Malek playing Hoffman's character makes it good. This guy can really act. He played Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody. He makes it watchable. I haven't watched the Dustin Hoffman one in a long time, but I can kind of vouch a little bit for the new Papillon. And by the way,
there's something about prison escape movies, man.
Oh, they're always good. But one thing about A Family Thing, your Duvall
flick. This one involves sex, though. This whole prison escape at Dannemora, Frank. It involves a lonely woman.
I remember
it centers around
this gal was having sex with the
and her husband worked at the prison.
She worked in the prison.
It's so explicit too that they don't beat around the bush when it comes to her and her desire.
Beat around the bush.
Yeah. Well, let's just put it this way.
That's an expression for when women actually had a bush.
Hey, in this movie,
don't use that anymore.
She might have one. But the movie, the series is good. It's 2 episodes in. It's got 7 episodes left. But I want to say a fun fact about your Duvall James Earl Jones flick is that guess who co-wrote that movie, Frank? A Family Thing in 1996. Let's just say this. It's one of your biggest impersonators.
I'll give you a hint. A.R.D.
A.R.B.
D. Billy Bob.
A.R.D. Billy Bob Thornton co-wrote A Family Thing in 1996. That was right before he did Sling Blade. I think Sling Billy Blade Bob came Thornton out in 96.
Billy Bob Thornton has so many things to his credit. We
he
don't
does.
Begin,
He's
we
a
don't
musician.
To know,
he loves the Cardinals,
here's
too.
The thing, here's the thing you got to learn to do here, Dan. You can't talk while somebody else is talking.
Wait a minute, you do it all the time.
But it's my show. It's my show.
Gotcha.
I can do it. I can do it.
You do interrupt a lot, though.
Yeah, no, you do. You're a big interrupter. We're gonna break you of that. Billy Bob Thornton, if you took a list, looked at, and you can easily go online, at all of his credits, not just for starring in movies, but for directing movies, for writing, for it's endless. I mean, everything from Sling Blade, which everybody knows, to Astronaut Farmer, to this thing you just... I had no idea that he was part of that. In fact, I didn't even know that he was active in the industry as far back as a family... what's it called? Family thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had no idea.
This is right before Sling Blade.
Yeah. All right. We're not quite out of time. You got a couple minutes. Is there anything Amazon, Netflix coming up that we need
to know? Escape at Dan Moore is kind of what I'm watching right now. I mean, I've caught up on Ray Donovan, who continues to be cool under pressure, even the biggest situations. As you know, his daughter's boyfriend's getting attacked by drug dealers. He just gets his baseball bat out. I wish I was as calm and cool under pressure as Ray Donovan is on that show.
Right.
Again, how many times does he say it? Sure. Yeah, sure.
There's a hilarious scene in The Last Ray Donovan where
he goes and beats up
the drug dealer that his daughter's fiance owes money to, and he carries a wooden baseball bat. Mm-hmm. Right, he saves his kid's hide, carries a wooden baseball bat, smacks these three guys around, goes back out to the car, and the kid sits there in the car with him. They're driving back to the house.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Why didn't you use aluminum?" Ray Donovan's like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "Well, aluminum has been known to have 15% more power than wood and gas." You know that? Ray Donovan just gets done basically killing three guys for his kid. He goes, "Did Carlton Fisk use aluminum in a 76 series?
And even the way he says that, I mean, he paused a little bit, and then he finally just, he shook his head, and he was like, "No, he used wood." And let's just put it this way. He uses a F-word, yeah, wood.
I cleaned it up.
It's the best thing. But he doesn't even raise his voice, and the kid is just shunned. He's like...
criticizing him for what kind of bat he used to save his life.
He basically gets out of the car, and the kid thinks he's going to get a bazooka out of the trunk. No, he gets a wooden bat. He's wearing a three-piece suit. He's like, "You know what? I'm going to go in here and just hit people with this bat, and it'll be okay." Once again, people, whenever you're in distress or you're just under pressure, think about what Ray Donovan would do. He'd just go, "Sure," and then just go get the car.
For those listening who actually know who Ray Donovan is, there's a significant number of people listening. They don't know that show. They don't get Showtime, and I understand that. But what I also want to do here, and I have about a minute, is every once in a while when we just rediscover a movie, let's share it with each other. It happened to me last night. I watched again, and it's been a few years, Breakdown with Kurt Russell.
Oh, ooh, great one.
Fantastic movie.
The late J.T. Walsh.
Was that
J.T.
Sandra?
Walsh. The J.T. Walsh. Yeah, Sandra Bullock is in it.
Yeah, that was her first movie.
I didn't know that, but J.T. Walsh, who passed away a few years ago, one of the all-time great bad guys. He's in Sling Blade in that nut house with Billy Bob Thornton in the opening scene. He's a patient at this mental institution.
He was so good in so many things, and then he just passed away all of a sudden. It happened like just crazy.
We're out of time. You know how to wrap this up.
I'm Dan Buff. I've had enough of.
All right, Dan Buff, everybody. Thank you. Dan Buff of Never Forget is brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States, the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues, and you can find out more at windowworldstlouis.com. Mark and I just talked during the last commercial break with Mark Reardon. So here's an update on the seminar. The seminar that's coming up December 4th. Hang on. Here it is. I set it somewhere, and I put something on top of it, and I hid it for myself. December 4th, which I believe we decided was a Tuesday, there will be a seminar with... there are 6 seats left, and that's it. 6. You need to gobble these up today. It's about the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that went into effect January 1st of this year. It's all about tax rates and deductions and exemptions and credits, things that you need to know that will impact you. And there will be some topics covered. There will be a Q&A. There's going to be an expert there. Mark Reardon will be there. Jason Becker will be there. It's at the Bonefish Grill on Eager Road in Brentwood. Dinner will be served at 6 o'clock. You'll be out of there by 8:30-ish. If you want to sign up for this, and again, only 6 seats left. That's it. December 4th, Bonefish Grill. Everything you need to make your reservation, you'll find at markandjason.com. That's markandjason.com. I don't know why anyone wouldn't want to go to this. There is no obligation. There is no cost. You get dinner and you get a boatload of good information. You don't have to commit to anything, to anybody. Take advantage of it. December 4th. Again, it's all at markandjason.com. Please stay with us. Don't go away. Another great cannibal joke coming up at the end of the Playhouse. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is TJ Moe. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 590thefan.com, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. The Trump administration regrets that some children were affected by tear gas used on the border with Mexico. Press Secretary Sarah Sanders said the administration would never want to put children in harm's way. However, she pointed out that the previous administration used tear gas.
Let's also not forget that this isn't the